and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Due to a technical hitch, I shall now have to read the epistle. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. This sermon is the outcome of spending a free afternoon sitting on the beach in Brighton. I was attending a Society for Applied Microbiology conference on travel-related infections. If anyone wishes to be put off travelling anywhere in the world, please see me afterwards. Today, and on Sundays from mid-July to the end of August, the epistle is taken from the letter to the Ephesians. This epistle, from which the compilers of the lectionary have selected readings which do not jar in a 21st century context, was written within the first century CE, and the extracts which we hear in this season of Trinity in ordinary time, when we concentrate our minds on the life and teaching of the church, give us much food for thought. Our attention is first turned towards the vexed questions of who wrote Ephesians and to whom. To answer the second question first, no one is certain. Some early manuscripts contain the words to Ephesus in verse 1. Some do not. Theories about its audience are: it was written to the church in Ephesus. It was written to the church in Laodicea. It was a general teaching document. Or it was written as an introduction to a collection of Paul's letters circulating in the early church. And to answer the first question, opinion amongst commentators is divided about 50-50, for and against Pauline authorship. Ephesians is one of the so-called prison letters, written when Paul was imprisoned in Rome in the early 60s CE, see Acts 28, shortly before his death. And the theses about the writer are: 1, Paul wrote the letter; 2, the letter was written or dictated partially by Paul; or 3, a disciple of Paul, Deutero-Paul, wrote the letter as a distillation of Pauline teaching. I'd actually rather like it to be by Paul, because believers are referred to as hagios on several occasions. Hagios is translated as saints or holy ones, and it would be nice to think that St. Paul thought of unexceptional of ordinary members of the church as saints. Really, it doesn't matter who wrote Ephesians or to whom, for it is what is contained in the letter which is important. In this letter, we have a theology of the church, technically referred to as ecclesiology. And I know some will find my first comment on the teaching of Ephesians controversial. It is that the church, capital and small c, is not in any way our idea. It is God's. Ephesians says that the church is God's way of healing fallen humanity, all humanity. In Pauline thought, the thought of the Old Testament, humanity was divided into Jews and not Jews, Gentiles. However, reading Ephesians, we learn that through Christ's death on the cross, God made humanity one. As the Book of Common Prayer, Eucharistic Prayer puts it, his one oblation for us all once offered. Christ's self-offering was so that a new, all-encompassing humanity would arise. And because of this, the Church of Christ contains all people. People like us, people not like us, people we like, people we find annoying. And we are stuck with it, because it was God's idea, not ours, and we have to embrace and rejoice in it. Today's reading, Ephesians 3:14-21, is a great Trinitarian prayer which tells us what to do, and it is not by forming committees or by joining Inclusive Church. It is by changing our way of thinking to recognising the Trinitarian God in all things. We bow to, we acknowledge the sovereignty of the Father who is head of everything, every community, every tribe, every nation, every nationality, all humanity, not just our nuclear families or our church families. The Greek here is patria, which is more encompassing than that, suggesting one nationhood of peoples under God. We do this in the power of the Spirit who is God within us, so that we may be one in Christ through faith, as we become rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, the love which reached its culmination at Calvary. And by doing so, we may encounter and have some faint concept of the encompassing love of God for everyone. Ephesians is one of the most powerful and terrifying statements of inclusion which I have ever read, simply because we have no choice. Even someone like me, who would rather watch Alien on her own than interact with, form relationships with people. How then, as a community, do we interact? Throughout the Bible, one of the ways people interact with each other is through a shared meal. From Avram's hurried preparation of a calf when the angels dropped in, Elisha commanding the feeding of 100 people in today's reading, the feast prepared for the prodigal son, the meals Jesus and his disciples shared, amongst which is a favourite of mine, being the grilled fish by the Sea of Galilee, because it reminds me of childhood and teenage picnics with charred sausages, sand in the sandwiches and ants in the sugar. And of course today's gospel reading, the feeding of the 5,000, with an apparently endless supply of loaves and fishes. Eating together forges strong bonds. Scholars tell us that in the household churches of Acts, the Eucharist would most probably have been preceded by a meal, and much is made of this in some traditions. It is not clear how and when the celebration of the Eucharist became separate from a communal meal. Consensus opinion is that it was before Christianity became respectable in the early 4th century CE. But what was noticeable from my time at college is that in most traditions, including some who regard themselves as non-denominational, it is the Eucharistic sharing which enhances communal life. The paradigm for the Eucharist as a meal in which the whole Christian community, that is all the Christian community, including those who were and those who will be shares, whether we like it or not, is found in today's reading. The celebration of the Eucharist is the act which draws together all Christians, and it is inclusive because it is the central act of the church which is God's idea, not ours. In today's gospel reading, we can see the fourfold action of the Eucharist, the taking, blessing, breaking, and sharing of the bread. Jesus takes the bread, gives thanks, and distributed. And there was more than enough to go around. The finite bread, consecrated, taken, blessed, broken, and shared, becomes infinite in the presence of God, who encompasses all things and all peoples. God's infinite, inclusive love is shared tangibly in Christ through the sacrament. To participate in the Eucharist is to be one with all people, to have a relationship with all people, to interact with all people, however difficult or uncomfortable it is, and however we might wish that we didn't have to. Go away and read Ephesians. Go away and think about Ephesians. We have no choice but to be inclusive, to include people not like us, as well as people like us, as difficult as this may be. We have no choice but to interact with, to form relationships. We have no choice but to try. God thought of the church, we didn't. God in Christ made the church inclusive, we didn't. God called us to be his church in this place and time. A church which is his idea, not ours, his patria, his people, his nation. And to underline it, to make it possible, gave us his son to live and to die, that all humanity might become one in Christ. Amen.